You listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more. Sen joins us. Butch, do you have any delay tactics in pickleball?
Oh, absolutely. The best one going. You trip over your own 2 feet, fall, cut yourself, lay there in a pool of blood, and the match ends.
I believe it. I believe it.
I think I tried that one.
It's a rough sport, a very violent sport.
Jason, I'm going to tell you, I was ready to stay on the court. They were literally pulling me by the legs, getting me off the court. I wanted to continue on, but they said, no, we have to stitch you up.
What a warrior. Absolute warrior. Well, Craig, it's great to talk to you today. And I want to touch on something. So I know you were on Dusty's the morning show earlier this week, and you just talked about, I don't want to tell you what you said, but I believe you said something along the lines that, you know, there's no more time waiting. They have to make a move to add a defenseman. Now, I don't disagree with the idea of adding a defenseman, but I guess my thing is if it is indeed Chychrun, you know, do you feel that, A, he's what they need, and if he isn't perfect, do you still make it to upgrade the team? Like, or do you wait for kind of what might be a perfect guy? Like, for me, Ekholm's the perfect guy. Unfortunately, he's a little bit older, and his contract's maybe a little bit more money.
So, I mean, there's not just one player. I just know that Jacob Chychrun's available. And you look at his age, you look at his game. So Jason, I'm gonna tell you what I compare it to. In the 1990s, we were looking at our team. We had Big Hatch and Matt Tkachuk on the blue line. And we went and made a trade for Daryl Sador. You know Daryl very well. Daryl did a number of things for our team. Number one, he had a lot of skill from the back end. He could handle the puck and move the puck. That was number one. Number two, he took that burden off of Darian Hatcher. Now Darian and Matty could just go play their game. We ended up trading for Sergei Zubov. And then Daryl Sador became the perfect complement for Sergei Zubov. So when we looked to make that move, were we looking at Daryl to come in and be a number one defenseman? No. But we were looking for him to come in and add something to our team that he brought, but also what he brought alleviated burdens on others around them. That's exactly what I think Jacob Chychrun could do for the Edmonton Oilers, and specifically Darnell Nurse.
I see where you're going with that. And that makes a lot of sense. So it's maybe a step one of other steps to kind of just keep adding and building this team.
Yeah, like you know, we did the core four under 24, and I was asked, you know, can any of the Edmonton Oilers prospects help the Edmonton Oilers compete for a Stanley Cup this year? I said, yeah, just not on the ice, in a move for other players. And that's not a knock. Listen, they got some really good prospects, but right. You know, I keep hearing about the price. I think that the price of not trying to strengthen your team with McDavid and Draisaitl absolutely excelling everywhere you want, I think falling short and then maybe not making the playoffs or going out in the first round is a far greater price than the price of what you have to get to improve your team around those two guys.
Craig, you know, you look at some of the changes we've seen or guys moving around the league, and I'm thinking of Kostin, who came here, obviously, then Tolvanen, who went to Seattle. After those guys pass through waivers, and there's a bit of a minor trade to get Kostin here, and then, you know, Tolvanen gets picked up on waivers by Seattle, do teams review kind of what they've done and why maybe they missed out? Now, it's short sample size, I get it, but do they go back and review and say, oh, man, like, we really missed this one, or is it like we didn't see this player being this guy, whatever, 2 months ago?
Well, you know what ends up happening, and I think it happens in every sport. And certainly, you start to look at your own players, like you know, with really narrow lenses on, and so you start to see, oh, this is what we thought he would be. Well, he's not that. So now that what he hasn't become starts to carry a little bit more weight. And then, you know, the player is getting frustrated because he's looking for opportunity. And, you know, it's a back and forth. And then you reach, and I guess I would call it a breaking point, Jason. You reach a breaking point where you just look at it and say, okay, this isn't working for player, it isn't working for the team, so you move him along. And yes, you look at Tolvanen, and there's been lots of players over the course of time that have fallen into that category. But I think this is where you got to really look inward. When you draft a player, you're always looking at like what the best potential is in that player. And when you're drafting them in the first round, like you draft Tolvanen, you're thinking, okay, this is his top. But I think you have to adjust that over time. Okay, if he isn't that, what is it? And is he still a player that can help us in different areas despite us maybe, you know, over-projecting him? And the player doesn't over-project himself. Teams do. But I think that they fall into their original projection, and ultimately the narrative becomes what a player isn't or what he hasn't become. And you look at Klim Kostin. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick, and maybe they thought he was going to be something else. But, you know, you have these kind of paths moving along, and you hope they can intersect. You hope that the player, getting to a level of competency and play on the ice intersects with where he can help your team and your expectations. And sometimes that doesn't happen. And I think that, you know, the waiver system, you know, proves that time and time again, that a player one place might be a better fit somewhere else. And now a team like Seattle going, geez, we really need a goal scorer. Okay, Eli, come on in here. And Eli goes, okay, they're going to let me be a goal scorer. There's an excitement all the way around. But I do think you have to really evaluate your own evaluations and not let your own evaluations cloud what a player is and can be and still be somebody that's valuable to your own team.
Greg Button joins us at Sports Theater TSN 1260. Greg, there's some rumblings that Provorov's available. And if the asking price was the exact same, Provorov or Chychrun, who would you prefer?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, right now, I would take Chychrun only because, he's a year younger and his contract's better. But I think Ivan's a really good player. I think he's smart. I think that he's so good in so many different areas of the game. I think that where he might give up a little bit of offensive ability, his defensive ability might be a little bit better than Jacobs. And I think Jacobs is a good defensive player. Is he great? No, but I think he's a good solve. But I think that's where the balance would kind of lean towards Ivan. So, you know, I think that when you start to look at, the offense for the Edmonton Oilers, shouldn't be a question because they are so good offensively. So maybe that's where you would say, hey, you know, Provorov becomes a little bit better fit only because of the defensive side. But it's not a big difference. And I think overall they're very comparable. It just might be where you weight it. And right now for me, year younger, cheaper contract, that's where I'd go. And that would be the tiebreaker for me right now.
Okay, Craig Button from TSN joins us. Craig, the Seattle Kraken have won 6 in a row on this road trip, 7 in a row to start to 2023. They're scoring goals like no tomorrow. Do you think it's sustainable? Is this a recipe for success when you look at their goals against and how much they've allowed this year? Can they keep winning this way, and do you think they can win this way? Like, they played so well, they've almost put themselves not in a guaranteed playoff spot, but pretty good, even if they just played .500. Can they win in the playoffs the way they're playing right now defensively?
I'm not so sure you can, because I mean their goaltending isn't great, and I'm not talking about small sample size reason. It just isn't. Mm-hmm. So last year where they couldn't outscore their goaltending problems, this year they are outscoring their goaltending problems. But I don't think it's about can they win in the playoffs. I think for the Seattle Kraken to get into the playoffs would be a win in and of itself. You know, they came into the league under incredible pressure after what the Vegas Golden Knights did. And I think if they can, you know, find a way into the playoffs in their second year, I think that would be a tremendous accomplishment for the Seattle Kraken. So ultimately, do I think that you can win the way they're playing? Yeah, you want offense, but I don't think it's the way they're playing. I think their goaltending is porous. If there was one thing that I'd be looking at if I was the Seattle Kraken, I'd be trying to find a goaltender. I'd be trying to find a goaltender, because then – I might swing my chances in the playoffs a little bit more positively.
The Colorado Avalanche had an amazing team last year, made it sound like a final and won it in very convincing way they went through the playoffs. This year, obviously, the injuries are adding up, and now you know they're in a tough spot. At what point do they push the panic button? Because it seems like if they're healthy, they're an easy playoff team. But with the health they are missing, you know, is there a time to push a panic button for a coach and GM?
You know, Jason, I'm not so sure that they, even if they wanted, even if that panic button was right next to them and they wanted to press it, I'm not so sure they can, only because of this reason. They're right up against the salary cap. And even if they're going to get, if they're going to be competitive, they need those players back. They need those players healthy. So even if you go and you add players, you need room to add your injured players back into it. And that's sizable. And unless they're only going to return at the beginning of the playoffs, where the cap doesn't matter, I think that would be the only path to really say, okay, we're going to get this guy, and you say, okay, Landeskog, you come back first game of the playoffs, Manson, whoever else, Bold Byram, you're coming back first game of the playoffs, so that we don't have to do any of these salary cap gymnastics. But right now, you know, that's a long way off, and not knowing the prognosis on those players' injuries, that's something where you need them to be healthy to be a good team, and yet at the same time, as a salary cap, it makes it really, really hard to make a move if they're coming back before the playoffs, because then you're into a whole other set of challenges.
Craig Button from TSN joins us now at the Sports Theater, TSN 1260. Craig, Seattle's obviously a major surprise to a lot of people. And as we get, their deadline, now we're within 2 months, it's 6 weeks. Having been in that chair, like there's conversations about trades, and then there's like actual conversations. When do you start to separate the two of kind of just, hey, what do you think, to, okay, let's get down to business? When does it switch? How do you know as a GM? How do you play that game, if you want to call it that?
Well, I don't know if it's a game, Jason. I mean, when you're in any negotiation, I think you get a sense of if somebody's serious. Like, if I just use an example of selling a house. So you have a house, and you've priced it. And let's just say you price it at $100. And you're pretty confident that that's within the marketplace, and you're going, okay, that's pretty good. And I come to you, and I go, hey, Jason, I really like your house, but I'll offer you $50. You're real quick to say, I'm not serious. I'm trying to get you to be vulnerable, right? So it's the same thing. If somebody phones Ken Holland and says, hey, listen, you know what? We'd be interested in one of your young players. We have a defenseman. Okay, what level of defenseman are we talking about? Well, I'll just use an example, Joel Edmondson. And somebody says, yeah, but I need your first-round pick in Broberg. I mean, the call's over. It's over. The managers know, what the players are. Other managers have to know what the value of a player. The question now is, do you want to pay it? Like, you charge $100 for your house. Now, I might offer 98, and you might say, okay, give me 99, and then we're there. I know the value if I've done my work. The same thing with the managers. And that's how you know if they're serious. I think that, like I know from my experience as a manager and working in Dallas with Bob Gainey, it was like we didn't waste our time on any of these what I would call frivolous phone calls. Like, call me when you're serious, bye. Because you don't got time to waste on that kind of thing. And I get it. Managers are trying to get something for nothing. They're trying to test you. But at the same time, as a manager, you know when it's serious, and it can go back and forth, and you can say, hey, I want this, and they say, oh, geez, I'm not so sure, what about that? And then you get a sense of the temperature. Hey, listen, they're serious. They might want this player. Let's go back and talk about it. But those serious conversations are taking place now, and certainly there might be a team or teams that come into the mix, but those conversations are taking place, and because everybody's paying attention to what they have and what they need and what everybody else has and what potentially they could make a deal because they have something that team's looking for.
Craig, quick one. The World Juniors wrapped up. Very entertaining. Berard's obviously going to go number one. I know that the tournament shouldn't impact it for draft-eligible guys, but – Now you got to see Fantilli. Does it change anything for you? Is the gap maybe bigger between him and Bedard now in your eyes?
I can only tell you this. I never thought that Fantilli was closing anything. Bedard stood alone. It stood alone. Let me just say this to you, too. Don't let anybody tell you that Michkov's close to Bedard either, because he isn't, okay? You know, and before the World Junior, Fantilli was closing the gap on Bedard. No, he wasn't. He's not in that class. You know, he just isn't. You know, and bottom line is Adam Fantilli, Leo Carlsen, they're good players. They're real good players. If anything, Jason, I left the World Junior really impressed with Adam Fantilli and Leo Carlsen for these reasons. They were asked to play a different position, left wing. They were asked to do different things in the game. And they took on a little bit less than what they're accustomed to with their age group and in their current situation. I thought they both performed admirably. If anything, to watch how they embraced and tried to do different things that were outside what you consider their NHL skill set, I left there really impressed. If you want to look at the stat sheet, go ahead. But I was really impressed with both of them.
Awesome, Craig. Great stuff as always, man. Have an awesome week. We will chat with you next Friday.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.